Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Ben Fred Fridays is always brought to you by StratumRepair.com. Stratum Structural Systems, waterproofing and foundation repair. You need basement waterproofing, foundation repair, crack repair, egress windows, concrete leveling. This is the wet season in March and April, and you may be finding that is the case in your home. If you have that in your home, go to their website at StratumRepair.com. Very easy to navigate their website. They've got the before and after pictures, and it might be what you're seeing at your home. We have just sent a couple of people that have listened to our podcast over to Stratum, and they are very, very happy. StratumRepair.com. Also brought to you by Rottler Pest Solutions, the most trusted family-owned pest control company in the region. They have free general pest inspection, $35 off pest control, $35 off wildlife removal. The best pest control in the Midwest, proud sponsor of Scoops with Danny Mac, and that is Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. Ben, there is so much to get into. Good morning to you. Happy March, Mardi Gras, whatever. Is your favorite time of year, March or whatever the case may be? The weather's changing. It's great outside. How you doing? That's all. I'm just trying to say how you doing.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Happy Friday. Yeah, I'm digging the feelings of spring and some positive vibes rolling in baseball. So yeah, things are good. And happy to be covering this always a fun time in sports, man. We've got college basketball getting to the best part of the year. Crazy to believe this, but spring football is lifting off. The Blues NHL is going down the home stretch, so it's always something. And in our world, that's a good thing to be busy.
Absolutely. Let's start with Arch Madness. 30 plus years in St. Louis. Doug Elgin, the former commissioner of the Valley, said we have to be in St. Louis. He had the vision of that. This is very, very important to be centralized with all our teams coming through. And let's hope we have a normal situation of Arch Madness, meaning that fans are wanting to travel, come to travel, feel comfortable about being in the games. And it means a lot for basketball. Obviously, it's the kickoff of the postseason of college basketball Division I. But it means a lot for our town. And I'm not sure people realize the economic impact that this has had. Millions of dollars every year thanks to Arch Madness. So thank you, Doug. Thank you, Jack Watkins, Mike Kern, the new commissioner, for staying here. And it's always a fun, fun weekend if you love basketball.
Yeah, it's really a crown jewel event for St. Louis. And to me, it's kind of the unofficial start of what is the best part of college basketball. It's the conference tournament season that rolls right into the NCAA tournament, and there's just a different atmosphere in the building when the team knows that it has a chance. Every team that shows up there, whether they had a great season like Loyola or a season that where things didn't work out, a form like Evansville, you can still show up, and if the cards go your way, you can make magic. It's a special event, and it's had an opportunity to grow and really bloom in St. Louis. So it's good to have it back. It's good to have, fans at these things back, and it should be a hell of a tournament. I mean, you've got an at-large in the field in Loyola, which is not always the case. Sometimes whoever wins the tournament is going. Loyola should be a tournament team, even if they don't win this tournament, which could open up the door for a second team. You've got probably four or five teams that could have a chance of winning this thing. To me, the wild card big time is Missouri State. Dana Ford's team can look like world beaters one game, and they can kind of go completely flat the next. How they show up, what they do is going to be really interesting. They've got Isaiah Mosley, who's one of the better scorers in college basketball this season, but he can be a bit streaky too. The kid out of Rockbridge High School in Columbia, certainly a lot of Mizzou fans wish some of those numbers would have been on their team as well as a lot of other schools. So we'll see if he's locked in and loaded for this. You got Ben Jacobson at Northern Iowa, who is as steady as they come. I mean, to me, he's one of the most impressive college coaches in the country. He never left. He made the job he had into the one he wanted, which I think more coaches should do. And it should be a heck of a tournament. It should be a chance for some real high level basketball and competitive too, because it's probably been, you know, one of the additions of Arch Madness where you look at it, you really don't know who's going to come out of it.
Yeah, you really don't. I'm going to switch gears. We're going to jump around a little bit here, Ben, if you're all right with that. I'm sure you are.
I'm ready to roll. What you got?
It was a week ago today, I believe, last Friday. Yeah, last Friday. And we saw Nick Ragone and Steve Spratt and the folks at Ascension and the Ascension Charity Classic bring in the APGA Tour St. Louis, presented by Doherty Business Solutions. And I thought it was awesome. And I knew this was coming. Obviously, I was tight-lipped about it, but was honored once again to be asked to MC this event, which I find to be thrilling for me because I love the game of golf. My family plays a ton of golf. My kids are heavily involved in golf. And I love to see in that it's open for everybody. So when I'm asked to do these events, I just feel like, man, this is really good for St. Louis. And Nick and his team have done stuff that is not only great for golf, don't get me wrong, so on a personal, selfish level, I love to go watch golf. I love to see it. I love to play it. But the main thing is, man, these guys are making a difference in areas that really need it. And a lot of money is raised, clearly from the Ascension, for North County charities, but also giving kids that like a Christian Heavens, from East St. Louis, a chance to compete on a high level and get better and better and maybe make it ultimately to the PGA Tour. So they dangle that carrot out there. There's somebody like you that you can be like, and you can make it. You can be this guy. I just think all of it is great, and St. Louis is front and center with that, and those guys are to be commended for what they do.
Yeah, and plus it's throw in the fact that it's another money-generating and money-raising event to be played during the same week as the Ascension Charity Classic that's going to be poured right back into a lot of deserving charities in North St. Louis. I mean, it's a win-win-win-win-win, and it's pretty cool. I mean, Nick Ragone told us when he launched the Ascension Charity Classic that it was going to get bigger and better every year, and I thought, okay, the tournament will get bigger and better. They'll build more, you know, cabanas. They will sell more tickets, and that will be certainly better. That's more money raised for the charities that are aligned with this tournament. But he meant bigger and better in terms of they're actually going to try to expand this footprint. And now you've got a whole nother separate professional tournament that kind of coexists and really pairs nicely with the Ascension Charity Classic. And I think there's a chance and a hope that other, you know, other tournaments could do this with the APGA as well. I think they're kind of trying to be a trendsetter here. And if it goes well, and we know based off how St. Louis is supporting golf right now, there's no reason to expect it won't. Christian Heavens, who's going to compete in this tournament in September, is an awesome story. And he's exactly the kind of golfer the APGA should say, this is why we're doing this. A guy from East St. Louis who learned to love golf because his grandpa taught it to him, grew up playing, was a part of the first tee program, got a college scholarship out of it, has played professionally since he graduated. And, you know, he's had his ups and downs with the game like any pro golfer, but he's making another run at it here. And he's playing on this tournament he was really one of the first few guys who joined on, and now he's coming back and it's booming, and he has a chance to play in front of his family and friends. Unfortunately, his grandfather is no longer with him, but you know, he will be with him when he plays in this tournament. So I loved it, and I loved that what Ken Bentley, that the, you know, the head of the APGA, told me after the press conference. He did a great job introducing it on the front end. I did my work on the back end, going around and getting some interviews. I asked him, I said, what do you make of just this energy for golf in this city? And he's an LA guy who has worked in St. Louis at times, but he said, you know, this is the first press conference that the APGA has ever had for announcing a tournament.
Wow.
And that really, I think it he felt honored that St. Louis thought this was such a big deal and wanted them to come here. And I think it shows what we've said, I mean, countless times, Dan, that if you bring your event to St. Louis, and you put up your sports flag here and you do things in a decent way, people are going to support you. They're going to rally and they're going to make your event a success. And I think this will be another big success for this event in September. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a week of golf. That first full week of September, I said in my column, if you want to go, you better clear your schedule now, because there's really going to be a chance to go. If you wanted to go to everything, you could basically go to an event starting Monday and go to every single thing on one of the two courses between the championship of the Ascension Charity Classic on Sunday.
It's pretty crazy just how much they have done, and they are to be commended, the folks at the Ascension Charity Classic. All right, the Blues in the midst of another road swing, and I mentioned this coming out of that break that they had. I think it was something like 3 games out of 14 were at home, and now they've had the first part of that swing. They played exceptionally well. They're going to play again tomorrow, early game against the Islanders, and the trade deadline is not that far away. This is getting intriguing for the Blues because of the goalie situation, the fact that they're a very good team, and they're starting to win on the road. And if they can do that, again, they'll be one of the favorites to come out of the West. I truly believe that, especially if they do something at the deadline.
Yeah, they like where they're looking right now. And the good news, and, you know, I won't say carried water for him, but I've tried to pump the brakes on everybody trying to you know, throw Jordan Binnington under the bus here. And he's showing some signs of a resurgence. We'll see if he can continue them. But, you know, based off of what the Blues have paid him and the contract that he has, there's confidence that he can be a high-level goalie for a team that's making a postseason run. He looked like he maybe wasn't going to get there this season, but after that last break they had, I think it did him well, and he's kind of starting to show some signs of that guy. And now we'll see if Husso can respond, and we'll see really if it's a situation where they've got some, you know, a pretty packed schedule coming up here to finish. Does Craig Berube play them both? Does he try to keep them both sharp and give himself a big question entering the playoffs? Is Binnington going to kind of fade here? Or is Husso going to kind of wind up being the guy that he was entering the season, which is the backup to a locked-in starter in Binnington? Too early to say, but you have to like the way Binnington is playing. You have to like the way his defense is playing in front of him. You have to like the way that the team is talking about kind of the return of his mental edge, which seemed to get, you know, softened a little bit when he was coming back from COVID and having some issues, and maybe he's got this ironed out. If he does, they really have one question, Dan. It's the trade deadline, how to go about it. The cap is not friendly to the Blues, but, you know, we've said it from the season start, and it's been confirmed kind of again and again. They've got a lot of depth. They've got talent. They can score. They can play fast. If they get their goalie thing worked out, they're a deep team for the postseason, but they probably need to come up with some sort of an add on the blue line. They need some addition, maybe some physicality, maybe some grit for their blue line. It doesn't have to be the most expensive addition in the world. They don't want to get rid of some of the guys they're excited about for the future, and that wouldn't help them with the cap space anyway. But Doug Armstrong, I'm sure, is exhausting his options there. And I think that's the box that is you hate to predict what Doug Armstrong's going to do, but that's the box that I think he's got to find a way to check some way, somehow.
Absolutely. I want to go back to college basketball for a moment, and then we'll get into a little college football and some baseball. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about is that SLU finishes up with VCU tomorrow, so their final home game, and then you've got the A-10 postseason tournament next week. For me, I hate saying this, but SLU has got to win the tournament, Ben. I don't think there's any other way to look at it for them to get into the NCAA tournament.
No chance. And every A-10 team, I think, feels the same way. There's not an at-large in the field on paper. And for most importantly, Dan, for SLU, they can't worry about that because they know their fate. They got to go win. You know, their challenge is going to be playing their best basketball when that A-10 tournament comes around. They're in that group of teams that played their best basketball too early so far. Now we'll see if they can get back to it. But, you know, they're showing some signs of some sparks in a bad way here down the stretch, having a hard time winning consistently. They've the success they were having on the road has started to escape them a little bit. The one guy that I look at, and I don't know how you do it, but they've got to find a way to get a rebound, get a bounce back from Gibson Jimerson. He's too much of a scoring threat. He's too much instant offense to not be much of a factor for this team. So I don't know if it's a sit down. I don't know if it's a mental break. I don't know what it is, but Travis has to find a way to get this guy back to where he was, you know, at times leading this team in scoring. They're a much more limited team when he's not reliable.
So it was a week ago that you got everybody going crazy over the name of Jaden Daniels, a QB, and we'll see what happens with him and what the situation is with Jaden Daniels. But who is this kid that, you know, is a quarterback that's been talked about going to various schools around the country?
He is a senior quarterback from Arizona State who announced he was going back to Arizona State and not going to enter the NFL draft. Folks were excited about that in Tempe. Then he decided, well, actually, I'm going to play that senior season elsewhere. An interesting guy, and easy to see why Eli Drinkwitz is at least considering, trying to bring this guy onto his team and wanted to actually have him on campus for a visit, Dan. The folks I've talked to about Jaden Daniels say they can see why Mizzou's interested. He's mobile. He can, you know, he can run. He had the most rushing yards of any Pac-12 quarterback last season. He's got a big arm that can get the ball down the field in a hurry. If you're looking for someone who might be able to get the full potential out of Luther Burden, he has the kind of arm that could make those throws. And he's got pretty good mechanics. He's a little on the thin, light side. You'd like to see him maybe bulk up a little bit. And there are some questions, some fair ones, about some of his trend lines. His best season, really, in terms of performance, was his freshman year at Arizona State. His sophomore year was that goofy, you know, COVID year. They played like four games in the Pac-12, so I don't even know how you're supposed to look into that. But then last year, I would say he regressed a little bit in terms of interceptions. He had 10 picks as well as 10 touchdowns. Actually, ironically, had the highest career completion percentage that he had that season compared to his other seasons, but he threw too many interceptions. The one thing that I think jumps out, he had much better receivers to work with his freshman year than he did last season. So if Missouri feels like they've got talented receivers, that clearly they've got a very talented one in Luther Burden, but if they feel like they've got a talent pool they can put around him that can get the best of his capabilities and maybe have some dual threat to his game in Eli Drinkwitz's creative play calling, you can see a potential fit there. And he's a three-year starter at a Power 5 school, which is way more experience than Missouri would have if it went with, you know, a Tyler Macon or a Brady Cook. So we'll see how it plays out, and we'll see if he wants Mizzou as bad as Mizzou wants him. But you can see why Eli Drinkwitz took a flyer, at least for now.
I want to remind you that our visits are brought to you by Rottler, Rottler.com, most trusted family-owned pest control company in the region. And if you have any kind of structural damage or basement repair problems, you need to call Stratum. Stratum Structural Systems, because they care, they are your source for basement repair, and that's StratumRepair.com. All right, let's get into some baseball and just some general thoughts on some players that we'll be looking forward to watching this year. I'm going to start, though, with an article done on Matt Carpenter, and it was talked about him working with – calling, actually, Joey Votto, working with Matt Holliday, traveling the country to see what's left in the tank to rearrange his swing. I don't know, man. Is it grasping at straws at this point? I know what I saw at the end of his run here in St. Louis, and it wasn't pretty. But I guess if you're a team, you give him a flyer and you say, hey, doesn't cost us anything. Let's see what he's got.
Yeah, I think it's a prove-it situation for
Matt. For sure.
I'm sure he gets that. But talking about how he's going to make some changes is easy in the off season. Is he actually going to do them during the season? I know the Cardinals had frustrations with him at times because of his reluctance to make some adjustments to what he was doing. And it's hard to do, but you're in a hard game. You know, playing Major League Baseball at a high level is not easy. And I think that, you know, they kind of got to the point where they felt like they were doing the same thing over and over again. So it probably requires a scenery change, and maybe that's enough to launch something. No pun intended there, because that's clearly what he's trying to do. I wonder if you know, I think about with Luke Voit, Dan, and the Yankees like Luke Voit as a prospect. You know, they sought him in the trade that sent the Cardinals are fortunate they got Giovanni Gallegos. It was called the Chase and Shreve trade, but Voit and Gallegos were much bigger pieces of it in the end. And the Yankees liked Luke Voit in part because they thought his swing matched their ballpark, and it did. You know, we'll see where he winds up, but for a while he was holding it down before they went and got Anthony Rizzo. I wonder if there could be something like that for Matt. I mean, I hate to say it for Cardinals fans listening, but if you're the Cubs and you're in this kind of, are we contending? Are we rebuilding? But we still want to have people somewhat interested. They got Stroman, what else? In that kind of mode, I'd probably look at Matt Carpenter's numbers at Wrigley Field and go, well,
I've been saying that too.
He always killed us at Wrigley. Maybe what would he do in a season where this was his home ballpark? So, or Cincinnati, hell. If you're Joey Votto and your pals and you really think this is going to happen, then guys have gone to Cincinnati and felt a lot better. I mean, look at what Nick Castellanos has done in that little ballpark. So I think if you're a ballpark where Matt Carpenter has played well, then you might take a flyer on him. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've been thinking. And, you know, Cincinnati, DH is in play. Obviously, Chicago, great numbers at Wrigley. And just start looking at teams that need a first baseman, left-handed bat off the bench, or a DH. And it's not going to cost you a lot. And if he's got something left in the tank, why not? You know what? You just go ahead and do it. We haven't talked a lot about a guy that I think probably needs to get more consideration to be talked about. And maybe we'll be doing this in 2 years as opposed to this year. But he's just kind of flown under the radar. And he shouldn't, because he had a hell of a year. And he's a young kid, and he's just like, okay, ho-hum cornerstone, and that's Dylan Carlson. I'm excited about the year that he can have, having a full major league season under his belt, and what may happen with this young man. I don't think we've talked about it enough.
Probably that's a sign of how good he's been, because there's not worries about him, which is, you know, when's the last time there's been a returning starter this young for the Cardinals that we haven't spent an off season wondering, can he keep it up, or, you know, can they trust on him? Can they rely on him? And with Carlson, we just kind of all think, yeah, he'll be getting better every year, which is actually a really hard thing to do, as we've seen in recent years with other players. But I think it's a combination of things. He's so kind of understated and quiet. He's pretty steady. He's consistent. He plays. He's not in and out of the lineup. He's mature beyond his years, and he's kind of figured out how to avoid some of those crazy ups and downs that can come sometimes with being a young player figuring it out. You know, I still think there's a chance that he has a breakout season, or I think there's maybe a better chance he just keeps getting better every year. And then, you know, 2 years down the road, everyone's kind of like, oh my God, there's this superstar in the outfield, and he kind of came, you know, grew up before everybody's eyes. He's so young. People forget his age, and I would encourage folks to remember that, because that means there's a lot of really, really good years ahead of him, and I think it could be a big season for him. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we wind up seeing him in some really important parts of the lineup. You know, the kid hit cleanup in the playoffs for the Cardinals in the pre-Arenado days. I don't think we'll see that, but I think he could be this team's leadoff hitter of the future, at least spend a good chunk of time there. Not to knock Tommy Edman, who can do some good things there. And I think we'll see more guys take that shot this year with kind of the lineup Marmol has talked about. But if you've got a switch hitter with speed and power, who can, you know, who can do some different things, grind out some at bats and also put the ball over the wall, I wouldn't mind seeing Dylan Carlson at leadoff quite a bit this year.
Why is everybody, and I think I'm making a generalization here, but I think I'm right. Why are we trying to move Tommy Edman all over the place? I don't understand that. He's a Gold Glover.
We have to embrace debate about this. Go like, Stephen A. Smith. I think that's a fine idea.
But hold on.
Go ahead.
Why did the Cardinals win last year? Why did they win? They figured out how to throw strikes and guys that let the ball go in play, which then means you have to have defense behind you. So why take away from your strength?
Well, I think it's I think because
convince
he's a,
me he here,
be
Ben
good
Fred.
Anywhere
convince
he plays
me.
Defensively. No, well, I'm not.
I'm not saying he's not a bad outfielder, but you got a Gold Glover at second.
Right. I think having a guy who can play solid defense and spectacular defense at some place is a strength. I don't think it's a weakness. I think if you're looking to get guys in the lineup, and you have a guy who legitimately, I mean, the Cardinals have talked about having guys who can play everywhere. Tommy Edman actually is a guy who can play everywhere. He is kind of that Zobris type player. So I think that's a strength to have. Now, do you want him taking the majority of his time at second base? Sure. But if you're trying to get a hot bat in a lineup or you're trying to maximize a matchup, I think it's a real plus to have a guy who can play, out in the outfield one day and come in and play second base the next. I think he could play some shortstop. Do we have any reason to think that Tommy Edmund couldn't be able to do good things there too? That's where he played a lot in the minors. So I don't view it at all as like disrespecting or not appreciating his play at second base. I just think that he can be whatever really you need him to be, and there aren't very many players who can do that. So that's my thing. I mean, the middle infield for the Cardinals in terms of what they get out of that on the offensive side of things is probably their, after the DH, is their biggest question mark right now. So one way you can kind of try to mix and match and get better production from there is to have a little bit more flexible middle infield. Now, some of that depends on how well, you know, a guy like Nolan Gorman hits and how well he can play second. If he can't stop the ball, if he's a clear minus defensively at second, even if his bat's rocking, then you got to revisit that, because I'm with you. You can't have a hole in your defense if you're trying to be a defense first team. I just think that Edmund is versatile, and I don't think his defensive versatility affects his offense. So I think that's a really unique weapon to have, to just say, well, no, we can only play him at second.
All right. I'm going to wrap it up with this.
Did I convince you or no?
No.
You want him at second base?
Yes. But, I listen. I go in open-minded, and I think probably they are leaning towards maybe what you're doing, what you're saying, especially if Nolan Gorman breaks north with the club. You got to find a place to play him. And I don't think they want to pigeonhole him as just a bat-first guy. So that is something to think about. You know,
well, if he rocks and he can play a decent second, and Paul DeJong continues to struggle, and I mean, then you could, maybe it's Edmund at shortstop. I mean, I think it could be a whole range of things, and I think you limit your ability to adapt if you'd lock yourself into Edmund playing second.
Sure.
Is that probably what's going to happen the most? I would guess so, because as you said, I mean, it's Gold Glover isn't a thing you want to rush off to a different position.
All right, final guy, Jack Flaherty. He's got to be healthy, and if he is, he's one of the top 5-10 starters in Major League Baseball. If not, then the Cardinals need to make sure that they're protected on the back end.
Yeah, he's the question that we get as much as any this offseason in the chats at STL3.com. People are worried about, should the Cardinals try to extend him? Is he going to get away as a free agent, you know, years from now? Is he overrated on the other side of the spectrum? And I tell him the same answer every time. We're going to find out a lot about Jack Flaherty this season. Can he stay healthy? Can he be that pitcher that he wants to be? He's motivated after last season. I don't think that Jack Flaherty is a guy sitting around right now worrying about his long-term plans. I think he wants to go out and prove that he can be one of the best young pitchers in this game. And last year robbed him of a chance to do that. And he's got a lot to prove to himself, to the Cardinals, to baseball in general. So between Dakota Hudson, who, you know, I think we don't talk about Dakota Hudson a lot.
Yeah, that's true too.
He was pitching pretty well last year, and he was close to getting back. I mean, we were at least asking the question of, could he appear in the postseason? So if these two guys are healthy physically, some of the questions that are fair about the Cardinals rotation could fade fast. Now with health, you've got to see it before you believe it. The Cardinals have been burned on guys being hurt in the past. So I completely understand the hesitation, but if Jack Flaherty and Dakota Hudson hold up physically, man, those two guys could be quite a combo for this rotation. And I think some people, because they've been hurt, are maybe kind of forgetting they exist and forgetting how good they've been. Now, if they can get back there, if one of the two can have a really good season, you're in good shape. If both of them can get back on the tracks they were before they were injured, then you could have a pretty nice little rotation there.
Absolutely. Hey, buddy, thanks for doing this. I know we went very long today, but lots of stuff to cover, and I'm sure you'll be busy down at Enterprise this weekend with Arch Madness.
Yes, sir. I'll be there. It's one of the benefits of baseball's situation is I get to be around for Arch Madness. So I'm excited about that and looking forward to covering some great basketball.
All right, buddy. Thanks, and we'll catch up next week.
Sounds Sounds good, brother. Talk then.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.